Radio Prague News.
Czech President Václav Klaus has met with the leaders of the five parliamentary parties, saying that there was a solution to the continuing political deadlock, but the first step would be electing a new lower house speaker. Prague's Ruzyně Airport has tightened security in reaction to the terrorist plot uncovered in London. The police anti-corruption unit has detained six suspects in a 9-year-old case of suspected fraud involving 1.2 billion crowns. The leaders of all parliamentary parties have met with President Václav Klaus to try to find a way out of the political stalemate that has continued since elections resulted in a parliamentary impasse in June. Following their meeting on Friday, the president told reporters that progress had been made on a plan towards electing a new speaker of the lower house, the first key to breaking the deadlock. Mr. Klaus stressed that he could give no further details. But the head of the Green Party, Martin Bursík, speaking to reporters, said under Friday's proposal, a candidate from the left-of-center Social Democrats, led by outgoing Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek, could temporarily be named lower house speaker. The Social Democrat leadership is meeting on Friday afternoon to discuss the deal. According to Mr. Bursík, all other parties have agreed to the plan. The election of a new speaker of the lower house, scheduled for Monday, is key because it would allow for the old cabinet to resign and for the president to appoint a new prime minister designate. Prague's Ruzyně International Airport has stepped up security measures following the news on Thursday of thwarted terrorist attacks that were to have targeted U.S.-bound planes from Britain. The additional security measures concern primarily flights bound for Great Britain and the U.S. and are in effect. Passport and security clearance have been tightened and passengers are no longer allowed to take liquids or gels on board. A spokeswoman for the airport recommended that anyone traveling to either Great Britain or the U.S. arrive well in advance of boarding, at least 2 hours before takeoff. A number of flights from Prague to London were cancelled on Thursday as London's Heathrow Airport closed to traffic. Also on Thursday, Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek met with the heads of Czech intelligence and requested the activation of a special team which will monitor the situation and coordinate security measures. The Czech intelligence service has issued a statement saying there is no direct threat to the Czech Republic at present. And in related news, Czech police detained a journalist on Friday who tried to test airport security at a regional airport. A police spokesman criticized the move under the current circumstances, referring to the foiled terrorist attempt to bomb airplanes leaving London's Heathrow. It has not been decided whether the journalist from a local Czech newspaper will face criminal charges. In testing security measures, the journalist climbed over a fence and strayed into off-limit areas at the airport. The police anti-corruption unit has detained six suspects in a 9-year-old case of suspected fraud, embezzlement of 1.2 billion crowns. That's around 55 million U.S. dollars. The CTK news agency has reported it was told by an unnamed source that police have reason to believe the fraud, the illegal siphoning off of assets from CS Fonde, was masterminded by Pavel Tykač and Jan Dinsel, the former heads of the now defunct Moto Invest financial company. Along with the two, four others have been detained for questioning. I'm Jan Wellinger. That's the news.
This is Radio Prague, and I'm Ian Willoughby. Today, special security measures are introduced at Prague Airport after the terror threats in the UK. A new survey says Prague is the richest city in the former Eastern Bloc. It's exactly 100 years since Buffalo Bill visited Moravia, and later we visit a museum dedicated to the hugely popular Czech singer Karel Gott. News on Thursday that the British Secret Services had foiled a huge terrorist plot sent shockwaves around the world and once again heightened awareness of the global threat of terrorism. At Prague's international airport, Ruzyně, it was a day of chaos and uncertainty as passengers waited for information. Daniela Lazareva has been following the story and joins me now in the studio. So, Daniela, could you tell us, please, how much of an impact did the news make and what's changed since Thursday morning?
Well, obviously, and it has evoked a great deal of concern among Czechs. It was a very harsh reminder of the global threat of terrorism, which, of course, most people have pushed to the back of their minds as they go about their daily business. You could hear people discussing the news out in the streets, talking about it. Of course, the media returned to it over and over that day, bringing fresh reports from London and from the United States. The Interior Minister and the head of the Intelligence Service both issued statements saying that they had no information, no indication to suggest that the Czech Republic that there was a direct threat to the Czech Republic. But of course, in today's world, the global threat of terrorism is ever present, and I think people realize that more than ever now. It's interesting to note, I think, in this connection that most Czechs appear to be against the idea of having a US military base on Czech territory, and it's for this particular reason that it might make the country a bigger target on the map of terrorists and extremists.
But getting back to the airport situation yesterday, what security measures have been introduced?
Well, security had already been tightened around key sites in connection with the escalation of the Middle East conflict. But as you say, additional measures have now been taken. And obviously, airport terminals are the most affected. Right now, there's an armoured personnel carrier parked outside Prague's Ruzyně Airport. Airport security has been reinforced at all Czech airports. There are more security men and sniffer dogs in evidence. And in particular, passengers on British and US-bound flights undergo very thorough screening indeed, as we hear from the airport Ruzyně spokeswoman Veronika Sedláčková.
Passengers bound for Great Britain or the United States will not be allowed to take any liquids or gels on board, not even sealed products in authentic packaging. And those flying with British Airways via London will not be allowed any carry-on luggage.
Nebudou si moci vzít na palubu žádné příruční zavazadlo.
And maybe I should add that, of course, certain passengers may be selected for thorough screening, whatever flight they happen to be boarding. So it's important to get to the airport well in advance.
And how long will these special measures be in force?
Well, of course, that's a question that a lot of people are asking, especially those who are travelling abroad shortly. But it's obviously very hard to predict. It all depends on how the international situation develops. And from what we've seen so far, they may not only remain in place permanently, but possibly they could even get tougher. It's an inconvenience, but in this case, the vast majority of passengers are accepting it without protest because faced with the alternative, it's obviously a very small inconvenience indeed.
Daniela Lazarova, thank you very much. Now, something a lot more upbeat. Prague is the richest city in the former Eastern Bloc, says the Swiss bank UBS in its annual index of the richest cities in the world. For the second year in a row, the Czech capital has an edge over Ljubljana, the Slovenian capital, which ranks 43rd on the index, while Prague is 41st. Linda Mashtelius reports.
Prague ranks above them all, above Budapest, Bratislava, Warsaw, Riga, and even above Ljubljana, according to the data collected by the Swiss bank UBS, which ranks cities according to prices, incomes, and purchasing power. Of all the post-communist cities of Central Europe, the highest standard of living is afforded to residents of the Czech capital, Prague. The global UBS index has granted Prague the status for the second consecutive year, ranking the city 41st, just behind Singapore. Marius Dragomir, a Romanian who resides in Prague and travels extensively in Central Europe on behalf of the Open Society Institute, explains why the Czech capital is such an attractive place.
There is a large offer of almost everything you can think of. I'm thinking here about all these movies, theaters. Then you have a very big competition on the sports activities. You can basically do anything, again, at a very good price. And then, of course, Prague remains a great spot for food, restaurants, a great offer if we are not talking about the restaurants in the tourist centers, which are sometimes ripping off tourists. But otherwise, it's a great offer of almost everything. And what is also great for the city is that it has attracted over the past maybe 10, 15 years, a lot of foreigners here, which makes it a very diverse city. And I would also add that it's one of the safest places that I've seen so far. In the past years, I hear about some more problems with the pickpocketing, some robberies, some thefts and so on. Still, the city remains, I would say, a very safe place.
Affordable and increasingly diverse, Prague is also a hub for international companies operating in Central Europe. Its niche is partially geographic, in a stable zone of Central Europe, well connected by air and railways, and thus a logical center for foreign companies to set up shop. Foreigners like Marios Dragomir, who has lived in Prague for 6 years, have an increasingly easier time navigating the city.
But I think what is really great in Prague is the fact that you can orientate very well. The city is very easy to handle, if I can say so. First of all, the public transportation is wonderful here. And this was one thing that I noticed when I came here some 6 years ago. Then in the past years, the city has developed a lot in terms of offering what I would say like good services for good price. Over the past years, I've seen that everything in Prague became a bit more expensive than it used to be some years ago, but it's not probably such a big difference. However, what I want to stress is that it's really like, I would say, affordable for everybody to enjoy almost everything.
While the UBS index indicates that there is still a significant difference in the living standards between Prague and nearby Vienna, for example, which ranks 21st on the index, the Czech capital is on the right path.
You're listening to Radio Prague, and I very much hope you can join us for our programs this weekend. But for now, I'm joined here in the studio by Daniela Lazarova, who has all the news from the world of business.
The Czech crown has reached an all-time high against the common European currency, trading at 27.96 to the euro on Friday morning. Analysts put the gain down to upbeat sentiment about news of a high foreign trade surplus and a favorable situation on emerging markets. The crown is also strong against the US dollar. On Wednesday, it traded at 21.78, a heller short of its all-time record.
Around half of the country's chain stores now accept euros, while others are planning to allow customers to pay in the currency, Lidová Noviny reports. However, payments in euros still only account for 1 or 2% of revenues. Predictably, most purchases are made using euros in Prague and the border areas. The Czech Republic is officially planning to introduce the currency in 2010.
RWE Transgas has been hit with a record fine from the Czech Anti-Monopoly Office. The company has been fined 370 million Czech crowns, that's almost $17 million, for abusing its dominant position on the Czech market, of which it controls more than 80%.
The number of new flats being built here in the Czech Republic is rising fast. Home starts were up 14.2% in the first half of the year, compared to the same period in 2005, the Czech Statistical Office said on Thursday. It put the sharp growth down to more attractive mortgage conditions, relatively high interest rates on home savings, state support for first-time buyer young couples, and fears that prices will increase in 2008, when construction work enters a higher VAT bracket.
The building boom has attracted the world's biggest glassmaker to the Czech Republic. AGC Glass has announced plans to build a large new glass factory in Teplice, North Bohemia. A company spokesperson said they expected demand for glass in the region to rise by around 8% in the next few years.
This year's grain harvest in the Czech Republic will be 9.6% lower than in 2005, predicts the Czech Statistical Office. It blames the decline on the long period of hot and dry weather in July and lower areas planted with grain. But the country's agricultural chamber says it expects even worse results, with recent heavy rains damaging crops.
We seem to be forever hearing about big car makers being the motor of the Czech economy, but not all manufacturers here are multinational giants. The family-owned company Kaipan has just unveiled its newest model, the Kaipan 14, which is a two-seater sports convertible. The price is 457,000 Czech crowns. That's almost $21,000. But you'd have to travel to the Kaipan factory in the small North Bohemian town of Smrzovka to pick one up.
This Saturday marks 100 years since William Frederick Cody, best known as Buffalo Bill, first visited Moravia with his famous Wild West touring extravaganza. In his day, the show, which featured numerous performers enacting scenes from the American West, made Cody one of the most recognizable men on earth. Even now, the legacy of the famous rider, army scout, and trapper continues to attract countless fans. Znojmo in the Czech Republic even boasts a Buffalo Bill museum. It was opened last year on a ranch there known as City of Rovtown, founded by the late Rudolf Staněk Sr. In honor of Buffalo Bill's last European tour 100 years ago, the ranch recently held a tribute to the Wild West. Rudolf Staněk Jr. describes the event.
Jakoby malou improvizovanou Wild West show jsme...
Of course, we couldn't have anywhere near as many riders as Bill originally had, but we did get a few people dressed up as cowboys and Indians to show what Buffalo Bill's arrival on horseback must have been like. There were demonstrations of stunts and weapons from the Wild West. And Buffalo Bill himself was performed by Zdeněk Gatjak, world champion in Western-style shooting, who has for years had a dedicated interest in the Wild West, especially in Buffalo Bill.
Back in 1906, 100 years ago on Saturday, Buffalo Bill visited Moravia in what was then the Austro-Hungarian Empire and stayed for about a week. He performed in the towns of Český Těšín, Ostrava, Přerov and Brno, as well as Jihlava. His show is said to have been greeted with enthusiasm by thousands, though apparently he got into hot water in Přerov, where the story goes he was almost lynched for addressing the crowd in German. Otherwise, though, his shows were an overwhelming success. They say when the Wild West came to town, Buffalo Bill sent some 100 riders ahead to reenact battles between cowboys and Indians on the run. Once again, here is Rudolf Staněk Jr.
His success, I think, is well documented on a beautiful period poster written in Czech in the language of the day, describing the Wild West show. It reads, "One day in Jihlava only, at the army training camp, Buffalo Bill in the Wild West one last time, never to return. 3 train cars, 500 horses, 800 performers, 100 redskins, a group of Japanese samurai warriors." It goes on. The show must have been enormous and was no doubt a success.
Now on Radio Prague, from the Wild West we go to Gotland, a museum dedicated to the Czech singer Karel Gott. And our host in this edition of The Arts is Jarka Halková.
Karel Gott is by far the most successful Czech singer. He has won the Golden Nightingale, a prestigious annual music award, 31 times and is at 67 a living legend. And he is the very first Czech living legend to have his own museum, Gotland. The museum is situated in the singer's former house in Jevany, a pretty village half an hour's drive from Prague. The house was built in 1927 and became the property of Karel Gott's family in the late 70s. The singer then sold the house before buying it back a few years later. He sold it for the second time after 10 years. That was just a year ago. The new owner, Jan Moťovský, soon realized that he hadn't just bought a beautiful house. His property was also a witness of the legend's life. He came up with the idea of Gotland and approached the singer to participate in the project. Vlastimil Korec, the museum spokesperson, describes Gott's reactions.
První myšlenky a první věty Karla Gotta byly: Ježišmarja, proč to se snad děláte?
His first reactions were very negative. Oh my God, you're joking. I'm not a narcissistic person who would want to build his own museum, said the maestro. Jan Matějovský then very slowly persuaded him that it had nothing to do with being narcissistic, that it would just reflect his life and success, his achievements and his albums. Karel Gott dropped all of his arguments and agreed to cooperate.
Podlehl a pak řekl: dobrá, budu s vámi spolupracovat.
His approval gave the rare idea credibility. The singer provided his own furniture. It now belongs to the exhibition and provides pleasure to many fans who mainly come from the Czech Republic, Slovakia and Germany. Vlastimil Korec again.
Zájem návštěvníků byl nadstandardní. Čekali jsme ten zájem o něco menší.
Interest has been very high. We didn't expect it to be so big. Daily there are several busloads of tourists. That's more than good, although many thought it was a very crazy idea. There's not a living person who has a museum. It's a unique thing here. Contrary to the USA, where even small stars have their own museum. They exhibit guitars they used to play on or their shoes. Why couldn't we have something similar here in the Czech Republic? Karel Gott is a figure of huge importance. It's just natural.
Je natolik zásadní, že to jde ruku v ruce.
Fans who visit Gotland get to learn a lot about their idol. Some of them may even have waited outside the house as fans, hoping to glimpse their idol during the communist era.
Co se týče výběru životního partnera, co se týče jídla, tak vždycky je buď to jídlo přesolené.
I've only met visitors who were satisfied. They visited the maestro's house and had the chance to sit on the sofa where he used to sit. After they walk through the house where he used to live, they enter the Hall of Fame, which has unique exhibits such as gold and platinum LPs, the covers of all the albums he's ever released, as well as the Golden Nightingale Awards. There's no other option than to feel admiration and amazement.
Na konci, které musí být údiv a úžas.
Den je krásný, den je krásný, den je krásný, den je krásný. Když dva se rádi mají, i v lednu je, jak mají, i v lednu je.
Můj oblíbený Čech, pan Karel Gott, mám ho hrozně ráda, fandím mu.
Karel Gott is my favorite singer. I like him and I'm a huge fan of his. The visit to the museum was actually a present for my birthday.
To vlastně byl od dcery a vnučky dárek k mým narozeninám.
Says one of the older fans I met in the house. Her granddaughter wasn't so enthusiastic.
A já to jsem úplně náhodou, já jsem dostala lístek taky k narozeninám a využila jsem to, vzala jsem babičku.
It's just a coincidence that I am here. It's also a birthday present, she explained, rolling her eyes. We came just to accompany our grandmother. I don't listen to this kind of music. I am too young for it.
Já už jsem mladá. Ještě jsem mladá.
There were no surprises for this young visitor. As she told me, Karel Gott likes the kind of furniture she thought he might like.
Ten člověk ještě žije, už má svoje muzeum.
On the other hand, it is interesting that a person who is still alive has his own museum. Why not visit it?
Zajímavost, no, proč to nevědět?
Concludes the granddaughter. This sound from speakers welcomes tourists in the entrance hall of the house. Together with the guide, it tells you that the singer likes playing chess. If you feel like it, you can even sit down and have a closer look at his own chess set. We are moving on to the bedroom. The bedroom is in a masculine style, as you might expect of Karel Gott. It features a massive dark wooden bed connected to a bathroom, which is in turn connected to a terrace with a beautiful view, which, as the voice says, must have been a great inspiration. I get scared as we walk into a study. In the middle stands Karel Gott. Not exactly, it is just a waxwork figure of the crooner. My heart beats a bit faster for a while.
I am not a great fan myself, but a legend.
Četl své oblíbené knihy o dějinách světa, které má moc rád a o kterých umí zcela nepřekvapivě.
The study feels the same as the living room. Elegant, stylish, simple. Contrary to the young granddaughter I had talked to, I do like it.
K tomu všemu jeho oblíbená hudba.
Vlastně tato figurína je v životní velikosti Karla Gotta a byla zakoupena z muzea.
My second guide here describes the room and photographs of the singer's three daughters, Dominika, Lucie and Charlotta Ella, who is just a few months old. A picture of the youngest, painted by her father, a passionate painter, is to be seen in next room. Many nice messages from visitors encouraged Karel Gott to have a fourth child, hopefully a son. Just like the father, reads one of them.
A sotva dostal starokrav, tak jak to žádal dobrý mrav, on u každé se zastavil a slušně se jí představil. A já jsem Budy a dnešním dnem výnosem ustanovem jsem tady pastevce.
Gotland is now a brand name. T-shirts, caps, paintings, chocolate, and even the singer's favorite cakes are all available. The name Gott sells. Karel Gott pops in from time to time. He has a word with visitors, entertains them, signs photographs, and moves on. Karel Gott has sold tens of millions of albums. But is it enough to keep Gotland alive for longer than a few years? Vlastimil Korec again.
Kdybych byl vědma a viděl bych, co bude v budoucnosti, tak bych vám rád odpověděl.
If I were a fortune teller and I could tell the future, I would answer your question. I think that the museum is a record of his great and amazing life. It's not going to change, and therefore it's going to be interesting even for generations that will live in 20 or 30 years' time.
Pokolení přicházející i za těch 20-30 let.
And that edition of The Arts brings us to the end of today's program here on Radio Prague. Thank you very much for listening. Have a great weekend. Join us and take care.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kHz. Six heures vingt-sept, Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 7345, 9415. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français.